Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to check in with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs, learn about a new organization helping veterans, and get an update from our county veteran service officers. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, almost 30 people a day are killed in drunk driving crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. The Minnesota National Guard relies on the health and fitness of its soldiers and airmen to achieve success. That's why it is important to have a plan in place if you decide to drink alcohol. Rideshare apps like Uber and Lyft are an efficient and affordable way to avoid having to drive while impaired. If that doesn't work for you, be sure to have a sober driver on call to take you home. And if all else fails, be prepared to sleep on a couch or floor. That's a better alternative than spending the night in jail. If you have to ask yourself if you're okay to drive, you already know the answer. Please don't drink and drive.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to talk today about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs at the Minnesota National Guard. And joining me now to open that discussion is Heather Bergeron, who is the Minnesota Family Program Director from the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And back quickly, we were just on the show a short time ago. Heather, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
We want to talk about Beyond the Yellow Ribbon today and about various parts of that. But can you briefly explain to us, what is the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs, and what is your mission?
Sure, yeah. So the mission is to take care of service members, their families, and veterans. They're out in the community, and we have geographical dispersion in Minnesota. We don't have an active duty base nearby, so it creates a network of support, just regular people in the community volunteering to come together and provide support in any way. It could be lawn care, it could be snow removal, it could be help with a financial item, and they just volunteer their time to give back to the community, and specifically service members, their families, and veterans.
And over the last dozen or so years, you've built a network of Yellow Ribbon cities, counties, and companies, and it's a large number of organizations all over Minnesota.
Yep, that's correct. Yep, we've got companies and organizations, as you mentioned. So we've got Beyond the Yellow Ribbon schools even, and we've got tons of communities. So it could be at the city or the county level, and they put on different fundraising events to raise funds to help support service members, veterans, with whatever their needs are. It could be a home item, a repair that needs to be done, and they come together. We even help somebody move recently, so move out of their house and into another house.
And simple little things like shoveling snow for a deployed a member of a deployed family, or maybe helping out with some cookies or coffee or something, but just to give support to those families while our service members are deployed.
Yep, they don't have to worry when they're away that their family members are taken care of. So they have a network of support all year round, whether or not their service members nearby. And then we also come together, the communities come together and do care packages for the deployed as well. So they're taken care of too.
And we have these Yellow Ribbon networks all over Minnesota. Heather, you brought a guest with you today. Would you like to introduce her?
Yes, I would. I have Stephanie Hurt here with me. She is the new Yellow Ribbon Regional Outreach Coordinator. So she's covering the northern half of the state, and we are very excited to have her. She brings a wealth of experience and knowledge and passion to the team.
Heather, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Heather, can you tell us how did you get to the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and what were you doing before you arrived at the Department of Military Affairs?
So I guess the first thing to start off with is that I'm a patriot, and then the words of Tiffany Kowalski, it'd be a pretty sad world if only the military supported the military.
I agree 100%.
So me personally, I'm a patriot, but I come from a family of service members all the way from World War II, Vietnam, and Operation Iraqi Freedom.
So how did you find out about this position?
Well, I knew about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. I knew that it exists. In fact, way back in the start of it, I remember actually tying a yellow ribbon around a very large pine tree in my yard.
Very good.
So that was way back in, I'd say, like 2006, I would say.
So you got an opportunity to apply for this position. You thought this might be fun.
Yeah, actually, a couple friends and other service members send it over to me, and they said, "Hey, I think you'd be amazing at this." And I was like, "You know what? I'm gonna shoot for that."
Very good. We're talking about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs on Minnesota Military Radio. Stephanie, can you tell us, what does a Yellow Ribbon Outreach Coordinator do?
So the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a volunteer-based structure that provides local support, much like Miss Heather, what she had talked about. And it is basically my job to work as a central hub to push information out and support them in those local areas to help them be successful in anything that they would need.
So you're coordinating between the families and the military, so to speak?
Yep.
And Heather, this has been going on for many, many years, and you're reorganizing a bit over there. Annette Kuiper was in a lead position over there for a long, long time. So are you hiring and filling in some spots and reorganizing that whole effort?
Yep, we are. So in the interim, we have a missing hole in our hearts and in the position, of course, with Annette's departure. But myself and other leadership in the Minnesota National Guard are covering down, and it's alive and well and thriving. And yep, we are rehiring as well. So those interviews will be happening in the next few weeks here, and hopefully within the next month we can have a couple more people on board and just keep plugging along and doing great things and some work supporting our volunteers so that they can keep supporting the service members and the veterans.
And Heather, I know twice a year in the spring and the fall you bring together your Yellow Ribbon organizations, your cities, your companies, and trade best practices and do those things so that they can interact and learn how everyone is, what they're doing to support the families. Is there one of those coming up this fall?
There sure is. Yep. Thomson Reuters is hosting this one. It'll be in Eagan, and that is November 3rd. So that'll be our fall conference. And then we're actually looking to do a conference with the community networks and bring in some pillars from the community. So public safety, school districts, key officials, and host a joining community forces in May of 2023. So that'll be another collaborative event for the volunteer networks as well.
The state fair is opening this week, and the theme for Military Appreciation Day is going to be employer support of the Guard and Reserve. And we've had them on the show, and they'll be on the show at the state fair. But one of the things they do is try to recognize the employers in Minnesota that provide so much support for our military when they're deployed and take care of their families. This all ties together, doesn't it?
It does, definitely. Yep. So when a company shows interest in becoming a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company, when they do their proclamation, so that's the final signing, awarding them that status, they also do a statement of support with ESGR, Employer Support for the Guard and Reserve.
And Stephanie, I know you've only been there a short while, but seems to me it's vitally important to have a great relationship and a lot of communication between the military in Minnesota, which is mainly the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard and some reserves, and our employers and all of the rest of the community that's out there.
Yeah, employers all the way down to volunteers.
So that's part of what you need to work on in terms of what's going on with the military. Are they going to be deployed on a federal deployment? Are they going to be called up for some kind of state duty? And how do we communicate with those employers so that they aren't surprised all of a sudden that, uh-oh, some of my employees are leaving. How do I cover it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the baseline is that we're around to support everyone. It's non-branch specific, so we're a purple program, so noting that. But it is our job to help serve people that serve.
And, of course, purple is a reference that it crosses across all of the services, and you want to take care of everybody. But communication, I would think, is key between the Yellow Ribbon and the families and the employers.
100%.
So that's part of what you're going to be working on.
Yeah. They get a lot of emails from me already.
Heather, she's going to be a valuable partner over there, I think.
She is. She's already doing great things. She hit the ground running, and she's doing great things. I'm very, very happy. I know our volunteers are very happy, and we're really grateful to have her. So we have good things on the horizon for this program, which in turn, of course, means good things for the service members, their families, veterans, just continuing that Minnesota norm, right, of everybody coming together and kind of wrapping their arms around our military members.
Very good. Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs here in the state of Minnesota, and my guests have been Heather Bergeron, the Minnesota Family Program Director, and Stephanie Hurt, who is the Yellow Ribbon Outreach Coordinator, both working for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And Heather, I want to start with a little organizational thing. Minnesota Department of Military Affairs is the civilian organization that helps the Minnesota National Guard do all the things they need to do.
Yep, that's correct. Yep, we have many programs within us that are all designed to offer support in one arena or another for service members, veterans, family members.
And the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs folks are mostly civilians. The Adjutant General is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, who's been appointed by the governor, and he's also the Commanding General of the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. And we heard from him earlier, Major General Sean Mankey. So this all kind of ties together, but for our casual listeners, they may not quite understand that. But underneath the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, then we come into your department. And can you explain what all you're charged with doing, you and Colonel Suarez?
Yep. Yes, I can. So we have soldier and family readiness support. We have Beyond the Yellow Ribbon communities and companies, organizations, volunteer networks, and we have Military OneSource. We've got Child and Youth Services. We got ESGR, Employer Support for the Guard and Reserve, Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program. That's deployment cycle support. And all of these programs are designed to make sure that today's military and even past veterans are well taken care of and they have the resources that they need. They feel connected in. They have a sense of community. And ultimately, we're giving back for their service.
So if we break that down a little bit, when we have federal deployments where the soldiers go out for a year at a time, they go through some classes and orientation things, and they find out all the resources available to help their family while they're gone, mm-hmm. and you help make sure that they know that and that their family knows who to contact. They go off to their deployment. If the family has an emergency or a problem, they come to you over there, and you have your pick of resources to help them with whatever that problem might be.
Yep, we have teams of experts, and that is all they do is hone the resources so that they are available and they can do a nice warm handoff for the service members, veterans, family members.
Mm-hmm. And Minnesota was the first to create the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs, and I know that General Best was working as an assistant out at the Guard Bureau to help spread that program around the country. Seems like Minnesota was out there first once again.
Yes, yep, you are correct, sir.
All right. Now I want to get into a little bit of detail here, but you work closely with a lot of other agencies, such as the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, MACV, probably the VA, because I don't know how you separate these things. There's so much to do. If all those organizations work closely together, you can get it done quicker.
Yep, that's exactly it. Creating those connections are key, right? And then we're able to develop and cultivate more resources and do more wraparound care for people. But you're right, it is a lot of resources. It can be overwhelming. People might wonder where to begin or which call to make first. And they honestly don't have to worry about it. If they get a hold of family programs in general, we can direct them, right? We can help get them connected in with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon community. We can help get them connected in with MACV or Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. So you don't have to know or be an expert with all those resources. We can certainly guide and direct people.
And Heather, the governor's made a priority of eliminating veteran homelessness here in Minnesota, and he's getting close, and also a priority to cut down on veteran suicides. And I know that with the governor and with the commissioner at MDVA and then, of course, working with family services, that's all part and parcel of the same stuff, trying to help the veterans, help your service members, help the families.
It is for sure. Yep. So we're looking at like holistic health and fitness. And so we actually have programs designed for that too. But one attributing factor to some of these things, quality of life issues, right, is financial concerns. So we definitely have some grants and resources in place to help out with that. And same thing with the homelessness, right? So we're looking at quality of life issues. And we are fortunate in Minnesota to have so many people want to come together and help. And that stuff is there for that reason, so that we can improve the quality of life of our service members.
We're talking about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. You mentioned grants. Last time you were on the show, we talked about the fact that you talk to military families when they have a financial emergency of one kind or another, and you do have a variety of resources available to help them. But then you process those grants and go to organizations such as the Minnesota Military Family Foundation to help take care of those families. It's a big part of what you do, isn't it?
It is a big part of what we do. And the Minnesota Military Family Foundation to date has given away something like, $5 million, I think, in grants in the last decade or so. And it's honestly probably even more than that. So we're already on target this year. Where we are at every other year right now, and we're only halfway through the year, we're $100,000 over from every other year of grants we've given away. Minnesota Military Family Foundation has given away more grants this year than any other year.
By far, and only the first 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a big year, and it seems like when the military families get in trouble, it's more complicated than ever. And they're proud families. They don't want to ask for help, do they?
They don't want to ask for help. And so that's the hard part, right? We want to reduce barriers and stigmas to asking for help. So we make it as easy as possible. We're discreet and confidential so that people can get the help they need and feel good about it.
Very good. And we want to keep that going. Stephanie, I want to come to you. There's some events coming up between now and the end of the year. And one of them, there's a Medal of Honor event. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, there's going to be on September 22nd is the dedication of the Minnesota Medal of Honor Memorial happening at the Capitol Mall in St. Paul at 1:30.
Very good, and we hope everybody goes to that. Is there a place they can go for more information?
I want to say it's...
check our Facebook page, Beyond Yellow Ribbon. If you search Facebook for Beyond Yellow Ribbon, it's on there. Otherwise, you can email us at beyondyellowribbon@gmail.com.
And you'll get back to them on that. I'm sure they can search for Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
And they'll find that event and come up. Ladies, we just got a few minutes left. How important are the volunteers? I know that the community Yellow Ribbon networks are made up of just people. Some of them former veterans and their families that have received help before. And it's one-on-one. It's grassroots. Can you answer that?
Absolutely. I think that is one of the things that I... personally think is so amazing about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbons network is that this network of individuals, you could be at the grocery store with them, you could be sitting next to them in church, and they all come back for a common ground of wanting to help veterans, military families, and service members. So I think that is really cool, and the volunteerism allows veterans and service members that have received help to come back and help.
So if our listeners want to help, all they need to do is find out if there's a local Yellow Ribbon community.
Absolutely.
Or a local Yellow Ribbon company and get a hold of them and say, how can I help? What can I do? Sometimes just a simple thing of you've got perhaps a wife that's home with kids and the husband is deployed and you say, why don't you come over for coffee, bring the kids. Just a little respite from all of the hectic day-to-day stuff when one parent's trying to take care of a whole family instead of the two parents being there.
Yeah, and sometimes it could just be that you may not know that wife or husband, spouse is gone, and their grass might be a little bit longer than normal. Just buzz over there and mow it for them.
I'm a Vietnam veteran, and the thing that scares me most was, what if I was home with the family and my wife was deployed? I wouldn't know what to do with
that. There's so many service members that think that same way, too.
But they'll need help, too, because it happens. They tell me up to 25% of the force today is women, and it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just the wife home with the families. It's the scary part, the husband home taking care of those families.
Oh, they do well.
They need as much help as they can get. I'll guarantee you that. Ladies, we're just about out of time. Stephanie's been nice to meet you today. We'll look forward to having you on the show again. And Heather, final thoughts. We've got about 30 seconds.
I just want to thank our volunteer community and our companies that have come together to support our service members and our veterans, and that you don't have to be connected to the military in any way to volunteer for one of these organizations. And we're just so grateful for the sense of community and support and outreach.
Very good. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It was Heather Bergeron and Stephanie Hurt from the Beyond Yellow Ribbon programs of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to learn about another organization taking care of veterans today. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about Hero Home Services. But first, it's time for Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Come visit the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, also known as MDVA, for the Great Minnesota Get-Together. The department will host a booth on the south side of the 4-H building for the duration of the state fair. Our staff will be on site with county veteran service officers to ensure veterans who stop by get the best knowledge, resources, and referrals in terms of state and federal benefits. Other groups represented include the Veterans Service Organization partners like the VFW, the American Legion, and the Disabled American Veterans. Learn more about MDVA and how we fulfill our mission of serving Minnesota veterans and their families. We hope to see you there.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the open, we're going to talk about Hero Home Services. And joining me now to talk about that is Bruce Stanky. Bruce, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Bruce, I understand you spent some time in the United States Marine Corps.
Sure did.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I spent 5 years in the Marine Corps as a military police officer. I know nobody really likes us. I did a tour in Iraq in 2003 when we invaded.
And survived that and got home safe?
I did, yep.
And what happened after you got home?
Well, after I got home, I kind of did what a lot of veterans do. I bounced around a little bit, tried to figure out where I wanted to go. Ended up in the trades doing drywall and taping and texturing. And after the housing market crashed, I went back to school and did something different. Ended up in a recruiting and training position, and that's kind of what I've been doing for about the last 8 to 10 years.
So you joined a company that was called Hero Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling?
I've only been a hero for about 10 months, but it's a fantastic organization.
And your position there, as you said, you're a recruiting manager for Hero Home Services.
I am.
How did that all happen? You go from the trades to doing something where you're not hauling around 8x12 sheets of sheetrock.
Well, I've long had a passion just kind of helping people be more successful in doing the job that they do, and that's what I'd been doing in restaurant management after I went back to school. So I made a move to a different organization where I was doing the training and the recruiting. And, again, I just had a passion for helping people be successful. And I really loved when they'd come back to me about a year later after, hiring them and go, just really thank you for the opportunity for hiring me and letting me work here. And basically, it's like I had such a little bit to do with that. Really, it was all you. But I'm glad you're here, right?
And this is an incredible company. As recently as 2010, when it was last traded hands, they only had a handful of employees, and I understand now you've got over 150 employees.
Over 180.
180, that's come a long way in 22 years.
It's a long way from 12 years ago, yes.
It certainly is. How did that happen?
Growth.
even an Air Force guy could figure that one
right.
out, Bruce.
But. So our owners, Josh and Sherry Savage, have a very fine-tuned process and how they wanted to grow the business. And a lot of it really stemmed from fear, I believe, just talking to Josh, that he didn't want his employees to not have work. And so a lot of marketing to get more work, and then we had to hire more people to keep up with the volume of calls. And so we just kind of grew.
And your owners are veterans as well?
Yes, Josh and Sherry are both veterans.
And they focused on hiring veterans for quite a while?
Yes.
And how's that worked out for them?
Quite well.
And why would you think that veterans would make good employees for a trades business?
Because veterans are disciplined, they're versatile, and they're flexible, and they understand that the needs can change moment to moment. And in the trades, the needs can change moment to moment, day to day, week to week. And so they're well-versed in flexibility.
So you come back from a tour in Iraq, and maybe we're in combat, and come back to the United States, get into the trades, go to work for a steady, growing company. Pretty hard, pretty easy to put in a full day's work when nobody's shooting at you.
Absolutely.
And you're smiling. I can't. How do we tell the listeners what you're talking about? I understand it. I haven't served in Vietnam. But veterans show up. They put in a good day's work. Like to have a little fun.
Usually, yeah. I mean, it's not uncommon to see some competitive games happening even in office, whether it's shooting a game of pool or, the hockey foosball game we got gets pretty competitive. We got a lot of guys who like to talk a little smack, and we work hard and play hard.
We're speaking with Bruce Stanky from Hero Home Services on Minnesota Military Radio. Bruce, I understand there's a few ethics that play in this company. One of them is work hard, play hard. You just kind of described that one. We're going to work hard, but when we take a break, we're going to take a break.
Right.
And then we'll go back at it. That's always worked well for me. But then everybody's talking about this thing called work-life balance. What in the world does that even mean?
Well, in the trades, that's something that almost doesn't exist in a lot of places. But, for us, we value our team so much, kind of like in the military. You know, it was kind of two fundamentals, the mission accomplishment and then troop welfare. We want to take care of our people, and so we have, like, guaranteed last dispatch times for our technicians. So they know about when they're going to be done for the day. They know that they're going to be able to go home and have dinner with their families. They're not going to make them work all night, overnights, Saturdays and Sundays. They want to be able to go to their T-ball games with their for their kids or their hockey games, and they want to have dinner with the families. They want to attend church maybe if that's what they do, and they just want to be there and show up more fully for the families. And so we have, programs in place that help them to do that.
And that does give them a little work-life balance because they know what to expect, and for the most part they get it. There's always going to be the day when you got to put in a little overtime to fix a leaky pipe or something's going on. But for the most part, if you can be on time and your family can expect you home on time, that helps a lot, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
The other thing that I've heard, I've been in business for over 40 years, is employees want to know what to expect. What are they expected to do? What does the employer want me to do? And if they can get that kind of leadership transparency, then it's a little easier to go out and perform and reach expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. And transparency is one of the things that really sets us apart as a company, not just from, inside the building where there's all this glass and you can literally see through, but just as a company model, every voice will be heard. And, our owners have literally taken every employee and sat down with them and took them through the profit and loss statement and said, this is where we're spending money. This is, where the money's coming from. This is where it's going. And this is what's left to put in the bank as profit at the end of the day. And, these types of conversations happen regularly.
And so if we can all get aligned, then it's easier to get the job done and get it done right.
You know what you're working for.
Right.
You know what the value that you're bringing or not bringing to the table, and that means a lot.
Bruce, we just got a couple of minutes left in this segment. Let's talk about people in high school and people thinking about their future. I think most of those people graduating from high school are still thinking about four-year college. I want to go to college. I want to do this. I want to do that. Trades. Everybody I know in the trades, and I know a lot of them, making a darn good living.
Absolutely.
Maybe not for everybody, but it's a good thing to consider.
Yeah, the trades are not for everybody, and there's certainly a lot of value to getting an education, but there are different types of education. On-the-job training is a fantastic form of education, and, there's long been the stigma of you have to get a four-year degree to make any real money. Where there are a lot of different trades technicians that are making six figures plus per year, and they're doing that in a fairly short period of time, 4 or 5 years of really on-the-hands training before they're there. Instead of spending money for 4 or 5 years to go get a college degree and then having loans, and now you're starting out in the workforce, these people are already established, and so they're buying homes faster sometimes and just kind of building their lives a little bit differently.
And all the trades are begging for people.
And it's not going to stop anytime soon.
So they want carpenters, they want HVAC, electric, plumbing, they want them all. And in the trades, you essentially can get paid while you learn.
Yes, as long as they're still building homes and old homes are still getting older and need more work, there's always going to be work to be done.
Very good. Bruce, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about if our listeners are thinking about going into the trades, what's the road to entry? How do you get into that? And we'll cover that in a minute. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Bruce Stanky from Hero Home Services, and we've been talking about the trades. And Bruce, You said you're the recruiting manager for Hero Home Services. You're now at 180 employees. Are you hiring?
Definitely.
And how many new employees do you need per year?
Per year? 30 to 50.
30 to 50. You're growing fast.
That's the plan.
Well, I hope that's because all of your customers know that you're hiring so many veterans and they're out there working. And likely, if they're supposed to get to see your customers within an hour or two time period, they get there on time.
That's the idea.
That's the idea. Let's go back to these trades for our listeners that are about ready to graduate, or for our listeners who have children in high school. If they're thinking about the trades, how do they get into it? What's the road to the trades? How do you get there? How do you get the education? How do you get the knowledge that you need to become a journeyman?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there are a lot of different routes to go. For veterans especially, they have access to the GI Bill, so they can go to school and get a degree in a trade. There are, of course, apprenticeship programs out there for people who are veterans or not, and some grants and other government-funded initiatives that can help companies to offset the cost of apprenticeships. And so there are companies out there that are looking to bring on apprenticeships and put them through school to kind of get some of that educational piece. And then, of course, in the work in a ministry, it's hands-on work, and you start at the bottom, obviously.
That is hard work.
Running a shovel, when you're like, oh, I thought it was going to be an electrician or a plumber. Well, you are, maybe, but you got to figure out how to run this shovel and dig this hole first. So,
and you're a big guy, but hauling around that drywall, that's hard work, too, and wears you out during the day. But you're a Marine, you could handle it. But the trades are more than just HVAC. They're more than just drywall. You've got carpenters, you've got plumbers, you've got electricians, you've got all the trades, and they all seem to be looking for people. And it's hard work, but it's good, honest hard work, and they can make good money.
Absolutely so.
So as you said, for our veterans, if they've earned the GI Bill, they can find a path to go to school for a year. They can probably get into an apprentice program where they're working on the side and going to school. And if they get that formal schooling, then they can graduate to better pay and better jobs sooner. But there are programs in the trades where you can take somebody right in from high school and put them to work and then train them as you go, correct?
There are.
So if I'm graduating from high school and I'm thinking about the trades, you know, where do you really start? Do I need to know about your firm? Do I need to know about Home or Hero Home Service? Or who do I call to find out how do I get into the trades?
You can definitely start by contacting some companies that are in the trades. There's a lot of opportunity out there. If you're not even sure which trade necessarily you want to get into, potentially you can just get into a truck and go for some ride-alongs and with some different types of trades. And a lot of places are willing to let you just kind of go ride around for an hour or so and just see what it's like, see the day in the life of a plumber, an electrician, or an HVAC technician is. And you can kind of gauge then, is this something that piques my interest? Is something that I want to do and explore? And then asking that technician, that plumber, that electrician, kind of what route they took. There's a lot of contacts out there. It's a lot of networking. So,
and they could probably also contact the trade schools, and they'll have people there that'll explain the program. How do you start? What can you expect? What companies are hiring? Because all the companies that are hiring are talking to every one of the trade schools. They want to get those students as they come out, don't they?
Absolutely. And as a recruiting manager, I'm definitely in contact with instructors at trade schools. So we'll get you pointed in the right direction.
All right. So contact the trade school or talk to your local plumbing or electrical contractor and say, are you hiring? And they'll say, yeah, you want to go to work tomorrow? They need you. So it's a good program. Let's come back. We just got a couple minutes left. Hero Home Services, growing fast, 180 employees. Lots of revenue, veteran owners. You want some more veterans, don't you?
I'd like to take a few more for sure.
And how do they find you?
Call Hero, jobs@hero.com. That's our new website, brand new, just up and running.
Jobs@hero.com.
Yep.
Ask for Bruce.
Sure.
And get over there and watch out because he's going to sign you up. You got to watch those Marines, I know what you're going to do. Sign here.
I was not a military recruiter, so you're not going to be signing your life away to me, though.
All right. So they can trust you. You won't take advantage of it.
Correct.
Well, this has been enlightening today, and I hope some of our listeners will think there's an alternative to college. It's trade school and the trades. Good, honest living, hard work, good money.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
Thank you. That's Bruce Stanky, Head recruiter for
Hero Home Service.
Joining me now is Josh Benega, who is the Lacrepal County Veteran Service Officer and also Vice President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Josh, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's good to be back, Tom. Thank you.
Josh, this is Minnesota State Fair time. They call it the Great Minnesota Get-Together, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of veterans over there. If any of those veterans have ever thought about visiting with the county veteran service officer about things that happened while they were in the military, do they have an opportunity to do that?
Absolutely, they do. Our association has a booth at the in the education building at the Minnesota State Fair, and it's manned by CVSOs from all across the state. We have volunteers that sometimes they drive for hours just and work at the fair for a few hours and meet with people.
Josh, we always recommend that our veterans, if they had some kind of an injury or a problem when they were in the military, to go talk to their county veteran service officer. They usually have an office somewhere near the courthouse, but they can talk to any county veteran service officer, and you're all able to help them as long as they're veterans here in Minnesota, correct?
Correct. I've had, even personal experience. I've had people from other states just call me for advice and on what to do. So we can help any veteran in the state of Minnesota. And we recommend that you stay as local as possible. But if there's some mitigating circumstances, by all means, we're all here to help you. So
with today's technology and email and so forth, whoever you like that's helping you with the claim, you can stay in touch pretty easily. But as you say, if you talk to your local county veteran service officer, then you can stop in. And so feel free to stop by the education building any day at the state fair. I hope our veterans get over there. Tuesday, August 30th, will be Military Appreciation Day at State Fair. And your county veteran service officers will be over there. And remember, if you've got some kind of issue, some kind of an illness, some kind of a problem related to your time and service to the country in military service, talk to your county veteran service officer. They can start the claim and get things rolling for you. And that's a big part of what you guys do, right, Josh?
That's right, and we're glad to help. A lot of us are, I have, been in some of the same dirt, so we understand what veterans go through, and we're glad to talk to you and help you out as much as we can.
And Josh, I know that the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers has a spring and a fall conference. And what you guys do at those conferences is bring all the county veteran service officers in and get them up to date on all the resources, all the changes, everything that's going on. Those are pretty educational events, aren't they?
Yes, like any professional association, we have continuing education requirements. And we get most of them at our training conferences, and we have one coming up on September 11th through the 14th at Grandview Lodge. It's our annual fall conference, and we have speakers come from all across the country to educate us on different aspects of helping veterans out, and it's a good time.
Josh, my guess is when you have that conference on September 11th that one of the topics that you're going to cover is the PACT Act that was recently passed in Congress. The House passed it, Senate passed it, the President signed it into law, and that covers a lot of things for veterans as old as me, Vietnam veterans, right up to today's.
Yeah, it goes back to, it adds more presumptive conditions to Vietnam-era veterans, adding MGUS and hypertension to the list of presumptive conditions from Agent Orange. It also adds military bases in Thailand to have been presumptive exposure to Agent Orange and herbicides.
Then the burn pits were a big item for more current veterans.
Yes, as it's been known as the Agent Orange of our generation, it adds over 20 conditions that are presumptively related to service in the Middle East and the burn pits.
And Josh, I understand also the key to that, if you want to apply for those benefits, is apply for it as soon as you can, because that date might be important in terms of obtaining benefits.
Yes. The day that the VA if it's 1 year beyond your separation from the military, the day that the VA receives the claim paperwork is the day that is the effective date of benefits. So the sooner you apply, the sooner your benefits get retroactive.
So the best thing you can do is go see your county veteran service officer, get that claim started, then work on documenting it the best you can. And then I understand, Josh, you might have to wait till the first of the year for those benefits to take effect. Congress has still got to fund this bill.
Yes. Yeah, it's major legislation, and every national service organization is happy that it was passed. And, you know, it's something that's pretty major, and we're excited about it and helping out veterans who have suffered silently with these.
Very good, sir. You've got a lot of work coming up with that PACT Act, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
It's a lot of work, but we're excited to do it.
Thank you, sir. That was Josh Benenga, the Lackawanna County Veteran Service Officer and the Vice President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We have one mention today. The Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota is pleased to announce their third annual Military Appreciation Family Day at the Farm. The date will be scheduled for Saturday, September 10th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Sutton Ridge Farm in rural Jordan. You can hear some speakers, see the flag-raising ceremony, and stick around for a special tribute to our Vietnam veterans. Enjoy some live music, kids' boot camp, variety of farm demonstrations, lunch catered by the Texas Roadhouse of Shakopee, and a flyover of former World War II military aircraft. Registration is required. Do so online at davmn.org/events and click on Military Day at the Farm. Hurry, registration closes September 6th. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Stephanie Hurt and Heather Bergeron, Bruce Stanky from Hero Home Services, Josh Benenga from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mackey. Please join us next week as we record from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.